We're in the portion of the Catechism to the London Baptist Confession that talks about the law of God, the law that was given on Mount Sinai. That law continues to be important for us, even though we're saved by grace, because the law has at least three uses in our life. First of all, it shows us that we're sinners because we don't measure up to that law, and it shows us how perfect God is because the law is based on God's nature. So it shows us our need for a Savior. Secondly, it's a guide for our sanctification. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so we need to know what those commandments are. So the law of God is part of what we need for that purpose. And then it also has a civil use, a use which is close to my heart. To the extent that we follow those principles, to the extent we try to incorporate them in our conscience, they're a restraint on evil, aren't they? So it continues to have that basis. It's, as one Supreme Court said, to see them on the law of a school would cause people to read them and then meditate on them and then follow them. We can't have that. Well, that's exactly what we do need. So they do have a continued use. When we come to this section of the catechism, it treats each commandment in this way. It starts out with what is the commandment? What does the commandment require? What are the positive duties that come from the negative statement? And then what does it prohibit? And then in some cases, as in this third commandment, which we're on now, it also asks, what about the reason attached to it? What does that have to say to us? So last week, Dave Gunther told us that the third commandment was that you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for God will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. This week we're at the point of what is required by the first commandment, or by the third commandment. We got that? Question 59. Don't have it. Okay, here's what it says. What is required by the third commandment? The third commandment requires the holy and reverent use of God's names, God's titles, God's attributes, God's ordinances, and God's words and works. So let's look at a few. We look at proof texts because we want to be sure that what it's teaching does conform to what the Bible says, and that's why we take time for proof texts. Here's one very important. If you look in the Sermon in the Mount in Matthew 6:9, he tells us how we ought to pray, the pattern prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It clearly teaches that. In Psalm 138, verses 1 and 2, I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name. And then in Revelation chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, this is the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb that's sung in heaven. Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. So in fact, the Bible does teach that the word, the name of God, the titles of God, the attributes of God are to be glorified and not besmirched.